Welcome to season 5 of the Willing Equine podcast, the podcast all about creating positive relationships between horses and people. I'm your host, Adele Shaw, a certified equine behavior consultant, horsemanship mentor, and all-around horse lover. Hey guys, it's 2024, a brand new year and a brand new season of the TWE podcast. Really excited to be back and making episodes for you guys. It's been such a long break and I'm very much motivated to get back into the podcast. I'm super excited to talk all things horses and positive reinforcement, clicker training, behavior, rehabilitation, problem solving things, anything you can think of. I want to dive into it. Horsemanship, building relationships with our horses. If you can think of, like, I want to dive into that. So, and I'm really excited for this season. Where I wanted to start though with this episode is kind of a recap of how things have been going. There's a lot has changed since my last episodes. I want to share a little bit about that, about the herd and where we're at, what's been going on, what some of my goals are for 2024. And then we're going to be diving into part one of answering some questions that I got on social media in regards to what can and cannot be trained with positive reinforcement. So this will be part one of answering those questions. So if you asked one of your a question on one of those posts, whether it was on Facebook or Instagram, I'm going to be answering those today in this part of the episode, and then we'll do a part two and we'll see, maybe a part three. It depends on how long it takes me to answer all of the different questions. And then I also have another one that's coming up after that, and that is gonna be answering even more questions that I also got on social media. So, but let's first dive into an update on TWE and the herd for 2024. So if you guys may have seen on YouTube that we made a huge change in 2023, we had been at a facility that I've started TWE at in 2017. And in 2023, let's go back, rewind. That facility we loved, we adored. I was so grateful to have the access to that facility, to be able to run my business out of, to be able to keep my horses at. They were very happy. Everything was fantastic there. The one big issue was I actually lived over an hour away from my herd at that facility. I lived in closer into the city and for my husband's work. And so I was driving back and forth. I had a really long commute to go work and also to see my horses and take care of them. If anything happened, you know, I was an hour away. So it was just becoming challenging. It wasn't impossible and I would have continued doing it, except for that we had the opportunity to make a big change that would alleviate that big commute. And so we did. So in 2022, my family, so my personal, like my kids and my husband and all that and my dogs, we all moved to a new property in about an hour away from our old facility and built our house and started getting the property ready for bringing the horses home. And that allowed us in the summer of 2023 to bring home the whole herd. And we did a lot by hand. There was a lot of work to be done, and we started, we had to do a lot of fencing, a lot of land management stuff, a lot of just lots and lots and lots of work. And we did hire some contractors for some different things, but a lot of it was done by hand. And so it did take some time. And plus, we waited to really start on the horse stuff until we got the family situated in our new house and with our routine and got all of that, our essentials, because it's raw piece of land and we needed to get things like water lines and electricity and internet so I could run my business, and because I run it from home, and then just, you know, things like driveways and getting your gate functional and getting a water filtration system from your well and making sure your well is working and making sure you have storage for your equipment and getting basic farm equipment, and just lots of stuff goes into having land that, you know, I was fairly prepared for because I grew up on land. Well, kind of. I was a teenager when we moved out to large property, but it's a little bit different as an adult when I'm the one financially responsible for purchasing all of that and keeping it maintained, my husband and I. So that was a big shift for us, but we got it all done and we successfully moved the horses in August 2023. I documented all of that on YouTube, and there's a part one and a part two, I believe. And then I'm going to talk more about that process and getting the horses settled and such in other episodes, but they are doing very well. I do have everybody home and everybody is doing very, very well now. It's now, you know, January 2024 when this episode goes out. And, I'm very happy to report that we're settling in. We're getting into routine. Things are starting to smooth out. It's been a lot of work. There was a lot of stuff that wasn't completed when we did move the horses. So we are still continuing to work on a daily basis to, with many projects to get everything settled. For example, we just finished covering the water lines. We trenched and brought in water, which trenching in our area is very challenging because we're on solid rock. And so we just finished trenching and running water to all the pastures so that it was much easier to get them all water. Before, when I brought them home, we were trucking water from the well to their pastures. And so it was quite an involved process. It took many hours every week to do that. So this has been a huge time relief. Like, it's just given me back a lot of time to be able to have those, the running water at the pastures. I'm so grateful for running water. So that's just like one example of a project we just finished up. And so there's been a lot of stuff that's ongoing, and we will continue to do more projects. And if you guys want to follow along a little bit more, with those projects, I actually created a second Instagram account, and it's right now it's called Life at the Willing Equine. That's on Instagram, but I also plan to do more updates on YouTube as well. So just keep an eye on those. And I do share this stuff somewhat on the main accounts as well. But anyway, so that's just if you're interested in any of those moves and any of the stuff having to do with that, all the projects that we're doing and all the ups and downs and the learning curves and everything that's come with it. But I am happy to report that we're doing much better and settled in. 2023 was insane. It was intense, but I'm very grateful for every bit of it. But that was one of the reasons that the podcast was really put on the back burner, is because I had so much going on when it came to moving the horses and getting all that situated, that I wasn't really able to do the podcast regularly, and something had to give. So I'm glad to be back, but that was a big thing that was going on. And of course, before that, in 2022, moving my family. And also something that changed in 2023, I don't remember when my last podcast episode was, but I rescued a new horse. So we have a new member in our herd, and also we had a herd member pass away. I've talked about him a few times. His name is Cash. He passed away in September, October 2022. Yeah, it was like September 2022. And then in October 2022, we adopted, or we rescued a new horse. Her name is Sugar. And we were very sad to have Cash pass, and it was very sudden and unexpected. He was older and had lived such a good life. He was 26-ish. It was a best guess kind of thing. And then he had an extremely severe colic that would have been, the only way to proceed forward would be surgery. But with his age and the complications and all that, it wasn't the best decision for him. So we did put him down at home with his herd, and so he passed. And he was really hard on Candy, his companion. And so the recovery from that and the grief that she went through and the grieving process and helping her stabilize and get back to a comfortable place, and to connect with other horses in the herd was quite challenging as well. So everything from like end of 2022 all the way to like now has been just one thing after another and really intense. And then rescuing a new horse, she was, being starved by, it was at a person's house that was next to one of my clients' house, and we were kind of watching her decline. And thankfully they were open to me taking her. And so I brought her home. And so she's had some really intense resource guarding and food aggression and anxiety, but we've been able to successfully introduce her to positive reinforcement and clicker training and help her through a lot of that food anxiety. She's been integrating into my lesson program. She's been doing fantastic. And so I've been recording her training progress as well. and doing fantastic. She health-wise, she's doing amazing, and she did also make the move with the rest of the herd as well in August 2023. So I'm trying to get all my dates right. Dates and me are just not friends. So if I get any of my dates wrong, I'm sorry. It is what it is. Dates and yeah, I don't excel in dates and numbers and all of that stuff. But you get the general idea of everything that's been going on. Lots and lots of stuff. So, and then of course, besides that is all the personal stuff with family, friends, etc. But we've all been doing very well, and I'm very happy to have everybody home and to be starting this new chapter in our lives and getting going into 2024 with a renewed sense of purpose and new goals, new motivations. And also, you know, honestly, some things did have to give and are going to continue to give. And then also to be able to bring the podcast back, I did have to say temporarily goodbye to a few other things. But I'm really excited about 2024 because I'm going to be intentionally focusing on my family and my kids and spending time with my horses and rediscovering just the passion of horses and being with my horses and just enjoying them and spending time with them and really prioritizing working with them and my time with my horses while continuing to bring more TW content, more training content, positive reinforcement, cooperative care, clicker training, just very conscious, you know, positive, humane, ethical, all the words we want to use, content and coaching and community to the equestrian community, to the horse community. That's something that's a really big passion of mine. I used to spend so much more time on social media as far as like engaging with other people and sharing and answering questions and things like that. And I've gotten away from that a little bit, partially because I got a little burned out and a little bit frustrated with social media in general. But I'm hoping to kind of revive that in a controlled way, in a pacing myself kind of way, so that I can continue to network and support people outside, or I should say, continue to support people that are curious and are interested in learning more. And so I want to continue to offer more free educational content and more support in that way. So that's kind of my goals going into 2024. Nothing super concrete as far as like, okay, I'm going to do this exactly and this exactly. Not about that. I just want to spend more time with my kids while they're young and well, forever, but I just want to spend more time with my family and my kids, and I want to spend more time with my own personal horses, and then I want to re-engage and reignite my passion for connecting with the equestrian community and bringing education to the wider community and continuing to support the community as a whole, but also continuing to help grow the positive reinforcement community. So that's my 2024 goals and what I'm really looking forward to. So yeah, anyways, I figured I'd share those, but that's kind of my updates for end of 2023, going into 2024, how everybody's doing, kind of some of the changes that have happened with the herd. So we've got the seven plus my client's horse that are with me here at our new facility. We've got River and Raven and Finn and Pumpkin and Cashmere and Candy and Sugar and wait, I missed somebody. Oh my gosh, I'm going to start the count over. Okay. I'm counting. Okay. So we've got River, Raven, Finn, Pumpkin, Cashmere, Candy, and Sugar. Okay, that's it. And then we've got June, my boarding client. So they're all here at our new facility. And if you're curious about any of the horses and you want to learn more about them, I do talk about them in the podcast, but sometimes it can be hard to keep track of which horse is which, but I do talk about them a lot. So you can actually find more information about the individual horses on my website. It's on the like about us page. There's about every single horse. There's a little bio about each of them. And then also, on Instagram, they each have a highlight and, or like a, there's a highlight that's about the herd. And then they each have like a photo on there that talks about them. And then also they each have their own hashtags. Like they're either going to be some of them. It's like CS. The CS came from back in the day. My social media account, The Willing Equine, used to be Collecting Spots. And that's because I had paints in Appaloosas. I thought I was so clever. Anyway, so that's where that came from. So it was hashtag CS Finn and hashtag CS River, hashtag CS, who we got, Candy, hashtag CS Pumpkin. Kashmir is under TWE, so she'd be hashtag TWE Kashmir. And then we've got Raven, she's under TWE, so hashtag TWE Raven. I believe she's under the TWE. Anyway, and then we've got hashtag TWE Sugar. And I think I've covered everybody. So, and then my training clients or boarding clients are going to be under TWE Training Horse or, yeah, something like that. Anyway, that's kind of, I don't know if anybody's interested in that, but that's, there it is. There's the information for you. So, new year, we're going back in, we're bringing back to life the TWE podcast. I'm very excited about it. I'm hoping to keep the episodes on the shorter side this year. I want to keep them around the 30-minute mark. So keep them short and sweet, and then doing them, you know, trying to keep up with it, doing it more often. So we'll end up, some episodes will end up being multi-parts. I'm not going to be doing a lot of guest episodes this year. Mostly me sharing information and answering questions. I do love answering questions from listeners. So if that's something that you want, you can message me, or if you go to the podcaster's app and look for my podcast, you can actually send me a voice message, which is always fun because then I get to hear your question and then everybody else who's listening gets to hear your question and then I answer it. So that's always an option. Or you can message me a question that you might have from the podcast too, or kind of a topic idea. So yeah, that's the update for 2023 going into 2024. And now let's dive into part one of answering things that people commented under my post that said, what can't you train with positive reinforcement? Okay, so as I mentioned, I did a post on Instagram, which also went up on Facebook, and it was asking people what they thought couldn't be trained with positive reinforcement. And so what I'm going to do is, we collected the answers that we got from that post, and I'm going to be answering them. And they weren't exactly questions that were asked directly at me, but they were doubts or things that people thought couldn't be trained with positive reinforcement, or some people commented based on what they had heard other people say couldn't be trained with positive reinforcement / clicker training. I'm going to use those interchangeably. So I'm going to go through that list of some of the things that people brought up and then give you solutions to those with positive reinforcement, or, you know, kind of do a true or false kind of thing. I'll kind of talk about my experience, why it is or isn't possible to be trained with positive reinforcement. And I'm going to be pretty transparent. I'm going to be honest. There's going to be some things you can't train with positive reinforcement. And maybe that's a little bit of a spoiler, but let's dive into it and I'll share more with you. And you'll understand what I mean when I say some things can't be trained with positive reinforcement, because there is so much. I mean, it feels unlimited. It feels like everything is possible with positive reinforcement. And that's how I feel about it. I love training with positive reinforcement. I can't imagine ever going back to anything else, but there are some limitations, and let's talk about them. All right. So one of the first things that was brought up was training long duration ridden behaviors, such as dressage tests, without clicking and reinforcing in between. So in between the behaviors. So if you're doing a dressage test and you enter down the center line, you halt at X, you salute, you continue down the center line at the trot, let's say turn left, go down the diagonal. I'm not using exact terminology, but go down the diagonal, I don't know. Anyway, you guys, you know what a dressage test looks like. And if you don't, then I would just Google quick, like, dressage test. Look at the Olympic dressage test, right? So that's what we're talking about, is these long, complex dressage or tests or patterns, even like a barrel racing pattern or a jumping pattern or something like that. But especially with the dressage pattern, there's a lot of nuance, there's a lot of precision, and a lot of effort from the horse. A lot of communication that has to happen, a lot of very precise time changing and location based changes in the movements, and in whether we're collecting or extending or doing a medium or doing a big relaxed stretchy walk, or we're doing a serpentine, or we're doing a 20 meter circle or a 10 meter circle or a piaf or a passage, or I don't know, there's so many flying lead changes, right? So it can seem like, and it's hard. Okay. So I'm going to answer this. True or false? I'm going to say in the grand scheme of things, like when we look at the science and we look at how learning works and how reinforcers work and how we can chain together behaviors and we can do what we can achieve with positive reinforcement, this should be false. So long duration ridden behaviors are absolutely possible to be trained with positive reinforcement. But here's the challenge. It is a very, 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 very long time and a lot of effort and a lot of behavior that has to happen before the reinforcement can occur. When something is being trained with negative reinforcement, so pressure and release, how most dressage tests are ridden and trained these days, there's lots of reinforcement happening throughout the pattern. There's a constant back and forth of pressure added, pressure relieved, and or release, pressure added, pressure release. So they're getting a constant release, or not constant, but they're getting a frequent reinforcement, right? So most competitions with horses, most competitive riding, most patterns, most, you know, the goals, the competitions, right? The shows, etc. They are geared towards and biased towards a certain kind of reinforcement, which is pressure and release. So negative reinforcement. They are biased towards negative reinforcement. The patterns and the tests are designed for negative reinforcement. The show environment is designed for negative reinforcement. The judging is designed for negative reinforcement. It is all geared towards and centered towards negative reinforcement. Does that mean we can't do it with positive reinforcement? No, but it will be challenging. That's where it's going to boil down to. Technically, this is false, meaning we can train long duration ridden behaviors and very complex ridden behaviors. I have many friends who do phenomenal positive reinforcement training with very excellent dressage behaviors. Like the training is excellent. The performance of the behaviors is excellent. I've seen high level dressage behaviors. I'm seeing also extensive jumping courses. I'm seeing long trail riding and endurance riding. I'm seeing lots of patterns, like even barrel patterns, etc., with positive reinforcement. It's just that it's going to be harder because, one, we don't have a lot of experience, meaning the horse world as a whole is very novice when it comes to training with positive reinforcement. We're really not very far along in this journey with training with positive reinforcement, that there's a lot of demonstration of it in the competition ring. And then two, the competition rings in general, the show environment, the patterns, like I said, are biased towards negative reinforcement. So can we do it? Yes. Can we train long duration ridden behaviors with positive reinforcement? Absolutely. You do not have to click and reinforce all the time. And this goes towards how skilled you are as a trainer. So a skilled trainer with positive reinforcement will be able to achieve this much easier than somebody who is novice with positive reinforcement, just like it would happen with negative reinforcement. When we train, so I'm going to go into a little bit more specifics of how this is possible. When we first introduce a behavior, reinforcement needs to come often and very quickly, right? Just like with negative reinforcement. So your horse takes one little step forward, needs reinforcement, because they need to know that was the right behavior. Then we start adding up and we start doing, okay, two steps, then the reinforcement comes. Then three steps, then the reinforcement comes. Then four steps, then the reinforcement comes. Then we can start deciding what kind of walking forward we want. Do we want it fast walking forward? Do we want it slow walking forward? Do we want two different ones? Maybe we want to be able to cue the fast walking forward and the slow walking forward. Okay, so we train those individually. And now we say, and this is where patterns and behaviors start to reinforce other behaviors. So we start to chain them all together. We can ask for a slow walk, and then we can ask for a bigger walk, and then reinforcement. And then we can go slow walk, big walk, halt, back up. You know, we're going to work up to this. Then reinforcement. And actually, because each individual behavior was trained with positive reinforcement, and a cue is added to that behavior that is associated with access to positive reinforcement, those behaviors will reinforce the previous ones that you cue. So if you cue the walk on, that's been reinforced with positive reinforcement in the past. And let's say you're not going to reinforce it this time on its own, but instead you're going to cue the trot. But the trot has also been trained with positive reinforcement, and the cue is associated with positive reinforcement. So actually, you ended up reinforcing the walk by cueing the trot, which will then access the positive reinforcement. And this keeps going and going and going until you can get big, big, big long chains of behavior. And many, you can cue many behaviors back to back to back and have variable rates of reinforcement, variable duration on the behavior. You can have intermittent reinforcement. Like, there's all kinds of nuance and science and skill that goes into this. And we can get to the point where you could be reinforcing fairly infrequently, where you're going along a trail. Let's say I do a lot of trail riding. So I could start, you know, I start training a horse to go on the trail. I mean, we're reinforcing, let's say I'm doing a mile long trail ride. Okay. This would be a good example. I might reinforce initially, or okay. Example A, it's not necessarily initially, it's come somewhere down the line of the training. Example A, on a mile long trail ride, I'm having to stop and reinforce, let's say 30 times. And then, you know, after a couple of practices, I've gone down to 20 times. And then after that, I've gone down to 10 times. And then now we're down to 5 times. And now we're going down to just 1 time every mile. Because the horse, and in that trail, right, we've walked over a log. We've done a little bit of trotting. We've done a little bit of walking. We've done a halt. We've backed up. We've turned left. We've turned right. These are all individual behaviors that are only getting reinforced 1 time at the very end of that mile. And so we've decreased the frequency of reinforcement, but everything is still being reinforced with positive reinforcement. The same idea applies to competitive riding, other long duration ridden behaviors, complex behaviors like dressage and jumping courses, etc. It is all possible with positive reinforcement. You just have to know what you're doing and have to have a lot of practice and coaching to get there. Okay, so following up on that one is actually another really great question, where somebody said it wasn't possible to train high school dressage, like Piaf, Passage, etc. with positive reinforcement. So I basically answered this question already, this doubt, this thought that you can't train it with positive reinforcement. But I'm going to go into it just a little bit more, just to specifically talk about training complex, nuanced behaviors like that. So absolutely, they are possible with positive reinforcement. Absolutely, 100%. Even the high effort things, it is possible with positive reinforcement. We're seeing examples of it it's starting to increase. People are putting effort into training these higher energy behaviors, these higher effort behaviors, more specific, nuanced, precise behaviors. We are seeing more and more people dedicate the time and the energy that is required and the expertise that is required to train these behaviors. But it's not really common yet. So we're only seeing a few examples so far, because a lot of times people, just like with anything, I mean, we see, or just like with traditional training these high school movements takes years and takes a lot of dedication and patience and a lot of expertise to be able to train them, having a good eye, being very thorough and detailed, etc., right? It's no different with training with positive reinforcement, but the pool of available positive reinforcement trainers that are also then simultaneously trained and interested in high school dressage, and then also simultaneously have a horse that is well suited to this type of training, and then also simultaneously they have the time and the ability to then go ahead and train this behavior. It's such a narrow, small pool right now that we're not seeing a lot of examples, but it is absolutely possible. And going back to the kind of the same idea of the building of the behaviors in between reinforcement, well, with these high school behaviors, with dressage, it's going to be more about building the individual building blocks. So can your horse stand square and balanced? And then can they offer a flexion? And then can they rock their weight? And now can they target this foot? And then can they target that foot? And now can they start to do it all together? And now can we do it back and forth and back and forth? And then eventually we've got a Piaf. That's many, many, many individual steps that then build up to this more complex behavior. And again, we got to look at all of the other aspects of it. Do we have a trainer that is experienced enough to do that? Do we have a horse that is suited to doing that? Although we could argue that dressage is for every horse, but you get what I mean. Do we have the time and the effort or energy to put towards that? And then has it been enough years that we've been able to now demonstrate the results of that training and that patience and all of that? So it is possible. We are seeing it. I know multiple trainers that have been successfully teaching high school dressage movements, and doing them very, very well. And of course, we're still learning. And there's some differences between the traditional training and positive reinforcement and kind of some of the little nuanced differences that we run into where, like with positive reinforcement, some of the struggle that we might have that we don't have with traditional training is that with positive reinforcement, maybe we have to play around with the type of the value of the reinforcer, the frequency of the reinforcer, because the effort that is required and there's no avoidance with positive reinforcement, there's only seeking out, right? With negative reinforcement, we are relying a lot on avoidance. And so it can be easier to get movements that are high energy and things like popping the feet up off the ground and getting them higher and higher can be a little bit easier to do when the horse is trying to avoid an annoyance like the whip tickling them or something like that or tapping on them. Versus with positive reinforcement, we need to switch that up and they need to learn to target something to seek it out. And so there's going to naturally be some challenges with positive reinforcement that we don't face with negative reinforcement. But that doesn't make one better than the other. It's just different, right? But absolutely, it is possible to train high school dressage movements with positive reinforcement, and we are seeing examples of this on the regular right now. Okay, I'm going to do one more for this episode, and it ties in with the other two, so it'll be perfect. Somebody commented about not being able to teach negative reinforcement with positive reinforcement. And actually what I believe that they meant was responding to tactile cues and escalating pressure with positive reinforcement, that it's not possible to teach the response to pressure with positive reinforcement. And this is false. It is absolutely possible to teach a horse to respond to a tactile cue, assuming that's what is meant here, is that if you want your horse, like if you want to be able to put your hand on your horse's hip and have them move their hip away from you, absolutely possible with positive reinforcement. If you want to be able to put pressure on the halter, so a tactile cue on the halter, and have the horse drop their head, absolutely possible with positive reinforcement. Here's the difference, the motivation for the behavior. The cue can look the same. The cue can look the same for negative reinforcement, pressure and release, and positive reinforcement. So they can both be tactile cues, but the motivation for why the horse is performing the behavior is different. So let's go back to the head dropping example. So if I put a tactile cue on the head, so let's say I've touched behind the horse's ear and I want them to know that that means to drop their head. With negative reinforcement, I'm going to put a mild pressure behind the ears on the pole and then wait for the horse to drop their head just a smidge and then I'm going to release it, right? So that's the reinforcers, the release of that pressure. With positive reinforcement though, we're not going to do that. We're not going to put our hand up there and wait for the horse to move because that would be still negative reinforcement. Even if you followed with a click in the food afterwards, that's negative reinforcement with a cherry on top. Instead, what we're going to do is teach the horse first to do the behavior, which is dropping the head by doing something like following a target. So my horse in this example already understands touching their nose to a target. So I'm going to present this target a couple inches below their nose. So they start to drop their nose to go to that target, click reinforcement. I'm not even touching their pole or anything right now. We drop their nose to their target, click reinforcement. We do it again. Make sure we've got that nice action happening, that dropping of the head happening. Now I'm going to introduce the tactile cue, which is going to look identical to the negative reinforcement cue, but they are not dropping their head trying to find relief from the pressure on their pole. Now what we're going to do is we're going to just barely hover our hand or lightly touch our hand to the pole and then present the target, and they're going to drop their head, click reinforcement. They didn't drop their head because my hand was behind the pole. They dropped it because the target came out, right? So we're going to do this again and again and again. And now I'm going to, and you want to work up to the point where the pressure is the tactile cue is the degree, the level that you're looking for. So if you want your horse to drop their head from barely hovering your hand over the top of their pole, that's what you need to train. If you want, however, to prepare your horse for more, quote, pressure, more intense tactile cue, go ahead and train that now. So having a little bit more contact on that pole, but first make sure your horse is comfortable with that they're not going to find that aversive. So put a little bit more tactile touch on, then present that target, click reinforcement. Now what we're going to start to do is remove the target. We're going to start to delay bringing out that target and click and reinforce for just the head dropping in anticipation of the target coming out. So you put your hand on the pole, the horse starts to drop their head, expecting the target to come out. You're going to click and reinforce that. Now you don't need the target at all, and the horse is going to start to associate a touch on their pole with dropping the head, click reinforcement. Now you've trained the dropping of the head to a tactile cue that looks just like a pressure and release cue, but it is not a pressure and release trained cue. It is not motivated by seeking release. It is motivated by seeking reinforcement, right? So you can absolutely teach your horse all behaviors that are typically taught with negative reinforcement. So all tactile cues, let's go that way. A touch on the side from the legs, a touch on the pole to drop the head, a hand on the hip to move the hip away, a wiggle of the rope to back up, a finger on the shoulder to move the shoulder away. I mean, there's so many different ones, but you can teach all of these tactile cues with positive reinforcement and they will look identical to negative reinforcement. And so you can absolutely teach your horse, quote, pressure or escalating, well, tactile cues with positive reinforcement. If somebody were to come up and escalate the pressure on your horse, the horse may get a little frustrated or confused, rightfully so, because nobody's ever escalated anything. But this is why I said that it might be beneficial to teach your horse a little bit more in quote intense cue. If you are worried that your horse might at some point experience a little bit more of an in quote intense cue for that behavior. And also I want to remind people that horses don't need to be taught negative reinforcement. They need to be taught the cues for desired behaviors. And if you want to use negative reinforcement, that's fine. Or positive reinforcement, that's fine. But they don't need to be taught negative reinforcement. They don't need to be taught how to avoid pressure. It is an inherent thing that all living beings understand. Negative reinforcement, positive reinforcement, negative punishment, positive punishment. It is inherent. Nobody teaches us how to learn through positive reinforcement. Nobody teaches us how to learn with negative reinforcement. Our brains already know how. What we need to learn is, how do I access that positive reinforcer from what this person expects? So they need to learn the behaviors that are expected to access positive reinforcement, or they need to learn the behaviors that are expected when this pressure is applied to access release. So access the negative reinforcement. That's what they need to learn. So you can teach a behavior with positive reinforcement. You can teach that cue, with positive reinforcement. All right. So that's going to do it for this part of answering the questions and talking about all these things. I hope that this was really helpful and you got a good idea of what it looks like to train ridden behaviors and longer duration behaviors, as well as common handling and riding cues with positive reinforcement. And it clarifies some of those doubts and some of the questions that you guys might have about those things. So I'm really excited to continue to dive into more of the comments that I received. We'll do that in the next episode. And definitely feel free to reach out if you have any more questions or you would like further clarification on anything I talked about in this episode. Thanks so much for listening. If you have any questions, please do email me at info@thewillingequine.com. If you'd like more information on my courses, coaching, consulting, or even access to free resources, please do check out my website, thewillingequine.com. If you like this podcast or this episode, please do leave feedback on the platform that you listen to it on.